Court in City of Portland versus Carrigan says you can't do that. A judgment is a judgment and must be called a judgment or it isn't a judgment. That results in us dismissing as being an appeal taken from a non-appealable judgment where this document is called an order. And what frequently happens is the parties go back to the trial court, they have the identical document signed by the judge, and the only change is in the upper right-hand corner instead of saying order, it says judgment. We would like to have the authority, without dismissing the case, giving jurisdiction back to the trial court, to simply authorize the trial court, that is, have the parties ask leave of our court to move the trial court to enter a judgment that will be an appealable judgment in terms of its form. In order to do that, the movement would have to satisfy us that the trial court probably intended to enter an appealable judgment. We don't want to get into the business of a party trying to pull a fast one on us and saying that the trial court really intended to enter final judgment when it is when it should be obvious from the record that the trial court did not intend to do that. So we want leave of our court. We want the party to satisfy us that the trial court intended to enter an appealable judgment and that the failure of the trial court to do so was the result of a drafting error or another category of cases, or actually two different categories of cases, is where the trial court does not have jurisdiction of the cause of action because the case is presently pending on appeal. Those cases result because you get a plaintiff who goes to trial, he wins. Defendant, upon hearing the jury's verdict, rushes up to our court, files a notice of appeal without waiting for the trial court to enter a judgment. Without that judgment, there is nothing to appeal from. You can't appeal from a verdict. You have to appeal from the judgment that embodies the verdict. Once the notice is filed under 19.033 sub 1, the trial court no longer has jurisdiction to enter a final judgment. What we're having to do now, where the appellant jumps the gun like they do, is dismiss the case, wait the 35 days to see if anybody wants to ask for review, and if they don't, we send out our final order. Then the party has to go back to the trial court, get a new judgment, and come back up. For the same reason, we would like to have the power, without dismissing the case, to simply, I don't want to use the word remand, but give the appellant leave to move the trial court for entry of a judgment that's in the proper form. We have reservations about this authority we want to give ourselves because the need to have an appealable judgment, of course, is the underlying tenet of an appeal having been taken. And that's what we're saying here, is that we recognize that there's no appealable judgment and that we in that sense do not have jurisdiction of the case, but we want to loop back, give the trial court the authority to enter an appealable judgment without the need to dismiss the existing appeal and refile a new one. Subsection 5 of ORS 19.033 would define, I believe, a little more clearly than existing law does, when appellate jurisdiction of a case ends. And we believe that it should end upon the mailing of what we call the final order, what used to be called the mandate, to the trial court. I would like to point out that many parties think that when the opinion of the court comes out, that that's the end of the case and that jurisdiction automatically goes back to the trial court at that point. And that is not true. The opinion of the court is simply how it should be thought of in terms of how the court intends to get rid of the case and for what reasons. It does not become a final judgment until all the necessary time periods for asking for Supreme Court review or for rehearing have passed, after all issues having to do with the cost bill, petitions for attorney fees have been settled. We then send to the trial court a copy of the cover sheet of the case, which contains hopefully a one or two line statement of what the actual judgment of the court is, along with a cost sheet, and the cost sheet has on it who is the prevailing party, if anyone was awarded costs, and if so, what those costs and attorney fees were. And that's usually only a two-page document, two or sometimes three-page document. Only when that is fully filled out and sent back to the trial court do we believe jurisdiction shifts from the appellate courts to the trial courts. Sections 6, 7, and 8 of the bill relate to undertakings on appeal. We believe that matters relating to undertaking on appeal should be litigated in the trial court. We believe that if you read all of the statutes relating to undertakings, it becomes clear that those that the undertaking is to be filed in the trial court, that any exceptions to the trial court, any exceptions to the undertaking are to be filed in the trial court, that any waivers, limitations, reduction in the amount of the bond on undertaking are to be adjudicated by the trial court. But ORS 19.038, 19040, and 19045 sub 2, I believe it is, simply use the word the court, and without making it clear which court. So we frequently have litigants filing these documents in our court, and there's nothing we can do with them. We simply send them back to the trial court, or send a party back to the trial court. So the amendments in section 6, 7, 8 are intended primarily to make it clear that these documents are to be filed and these issues are to be litigated in the trial court.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bellman.
Why do you use the term the judgment? You've got trial court, and then you line 28 in the bill on page 4. You scratch out the decree and such decree, and you use the term judgment.
Right. There is a trend in Oregon to abolish the distinction between law and equity. Traditionally, decrees are entered in equitable cases, judgments are entered in law cases. We are trying to, or the trend of the law is to abolish distinctions between those two, in favor of one form of action called the action and the ending document being called the judgment. This is an effort to further clean up the language. Sections 9, 10, and 11 relate to the power of the trial court to dismiss, of the trial court to dismiss and appeal on stipulation of the parties. If the stipulation is filed before the record is delivered to the trial court, this is a kind of, we think, an anachronistic provision of the law. And in at least one case that I'm aware of, there was an attempt by an appellant to use it to avoid paying his filing fee. He was a loser at trial. He filed his notice of appeal. He did not send along his filing fee. He didn't intend to appeal anything. He simply wanted to settle the case. And he did. The plaintiff in that case settled for a lesser amount than that the jury awarded him, and then by stipulation of the parties he attempted to dismiss the case, all the while without paying the appellate court filing fee. We would like to put an end to that practice. The other problem is that even where there's no arguably hanky-panky going on, and parties honestly decide to settle a case even after they thought they had an appeal that had merit to it, is that when these orders are entered by the trial court dismissing an appeal in our court, they fail to send us a notice of it. So we have this case sitting there frequently for months, not knowing that the parties have already gone, have already settled their differences and gone home. We do not think it would work a hardship if the parties do settle a case and then to file the stipulation with our court. We will enter the order dismissing it. Section 12 is extremely hard to explain. ORS 19.190 was enacted, I believe, in 1981, perhaps earlier. But it used the phrase appellate court decision in place of what at that time was the word mandate, that is, the final document that the appellate court sent back to the trial court that ended the case. Under 19.190, but one of the problems is that there's no definition of the word, of the phrase appellate court judgment, and 19.190 also uses the words decision and judgment, and it's not clear what they're talking about. It also provides that the decisions of the appellate courts are deemed entered when they are filed, but then they are stayed for certain periods of time. Under the court's rules, we at one time said that a decision of the Supreme Court was stayed for a period of 21 days to give either party the chance to ask for rehearing. What occasionally happened is that the so-called stay period would run out before we could get the appellate court decision back to the trial court, and we created kind of a twilight zone of a decision of the court that somehow was supposed to be effective and not stayed, but neither court was going to act on it. We have made an effort to rewrite 19.190 and to use the term appellate judgment in place of the phrase appellate court decision, and in that effort to track on the use of the word judgment to be the ending document in the trial court, appellate judgment will be the ending document in the appellate court. And then instead of thinking in terms of a decision that is somehow stayed, we're simply going to say the decision of the appellate court is not effective until the judgment is mailed to the trial court. Then and only then is the judgment effective, and then and only then does jurisdiction transfer from the appellate court to the trial court. Sections 13 and 14.
Mr. Nass, if I could just interrupt you there.
Yeah.
We have a 4 o'clock caucus. We have one bill that if we get a quorum back for work session purposes, we do want to try to spend a few minutes on before the end of the day. So if I could ask you to speed through the information.
Okay.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
It's late. Is there anything that's a policy change in here? I mean, you folks have worked all of this stuff out, and this is to help you out in terms of working with the court. Is there any section or something that is a true policy change?
Arguably only two of them. Section 15 would provide that the appellant in certain kinds of cases would not have to pay a filing fee, and the reason that we are turning down this source of revenue, what appears to be a source of revenue, is that in 99 cases out of 100, the people in these kinds of cases, namely juvenile court cases, allegedly mentally ill or mentally retarded persons, PSRB cases, and parole board cases, the person doesn't have dime one anyway. We end up having to process the motion to waive the filing fee. It costs more to process the motion than we ever get out of it. So we would just assume there not be a filing fee for those kinds of cases. But since it does involve loss of some potential revenue, I mention it. I think the only other real policy decision would be in ORS 138071, which is section 17 of the bill. Under existing law, under 138071, in a criminal case, the defendant can take an appeal at any time after verdict. Unlike the civil case, where you have to wait for entry of the judgment before you can file your notice, 138070 says you can take the appeal after entry of the verdict. This results in some cases, a new notice of appeal having to be filed, or at least it's not clear what the status of the judgment that is subsequently entered by the trial court. We would like that statute simply to say, to track the civil cases, that the notice of appeal would be filed after judgment.
And you say that's a policy change?
Yeah, I had understood that there was going to be some opposition to that section from possibly the public defender's office. I don't know whether they intend to or not. The Attorney General's office has offered a bill. They don't have the bill number here, but it would also amend the same section along the same lines.
As far as the rest of the bill is concerned, it's a good bill. You should pass, right?
Excellent bill.
Oh, good.
Why don't we?
I'm sure glad you brought this to us, Mr. Chair, on Tuesday afternoon instead of Friday afternoon. We might have become unruly.
Should have been here last Friday.
I was.
You were. Sorry. That's why you're saying that.
Thank you for your patience.
Thank you very much. Did you have any other comments, just generally, in the overall gist of the bill?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming over here today and having to wait to get to this bill. We appreciate your comments and the fact that you have everything laid out in writing. Very beneficial to us. We will close the hearing on House Bill 2205 and put in a work session on House Bill 2337, which is very difficult to do since we don't have a quorum.
Well, he's around. Buns stands right outside.
Lockie, did you?
Sergeant at Arms.
While we're doing this, did you check to see if this section would go under a different section than Section 415?
Correct. It'd be connected to the section. It relates most to law enforcement.
Okay.
Are there amendments?
I don't think there's amendments, but I got them.
There are no prepared amendments, but you.
One of my amendments is very small.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to propose amendments?
I don't think so.
I'm
going to wait to see yours.
Well, my proposed amendment would be to add the word direct in line 5 before the in purpose.
So it would read for the direct purpose.
It says that no law enforcement agent shall use agency monies, equipment, or personnel for the direct purpose of detecting and apprehending.
Okay, now it's...
I know that causes a little consternation, but I still think it's telling I still think it would tell a law enforcement agency what we're really saying is you're not supposed to do it, but... If by accident some indirect thing happened, they call on the radio or something, they go ahead and do
then
it.
They could answer the call.
Right.
And that's what my amendment was going to get at as well, sort of. If there's an emergency situation, for example, is it also the intent of your amendment, therefore, that this would not prohibit, well, this House Bill 2337 does not preclude one of our police officers to investigate, to apprehend an alien who may be involved in criminal activity?
I want to draft, and I apologize, but I would like to add a section on that that says, and maybe Rocky, you could take some notes for me, nothing in this section is intended to prohibit a law enforcement agency upon the arrest of an individual for criminal charges other than being an illegal alien. And I want it to be very clear that they have to arrest the individual for criminal charges other than being an illegal alien. Nothing would prevent the law enforcement agency at that time from contacting the INS to check into the status of the individual. Which is what you're saying.
That's right.
I don't want them to go out there and investigate and say, oops, I think they're an illegal. I think they have to arrest them for a crime, and then you can say, after you've arrested them for a crime, then you could call in the INS.
Is he named Wade?
No, he apparently was named somebody. They knew where he was asked to track him down. They have.
Okay, we just need a moment.
Okay.
Which is presently what happens. I mean, the DA in Jefferson County tells me that's exactly what happens. But if he arrests somebody, then he will contact the INS if the person is the type of person he doesn't want around. And he wants it to be very voluntary, because he only uses it when the individual shouldn't be here. He's causing problems, so forth.
Okay. It is your intent, then, to make, with the bill's intent, that local police officers could not participate in INS raids, whose only purpose,
right,
and major purpose, or even major purpose, is the fact that some people are undocumented workers.
And it's also my intent to say that if somebody calls up and says, hey, I think there's something illegal going on up there, and they go on up and they investigate and find nothing that they're going to arrest an individual on, and they suspect there's illegals, I'm saying that at that point they shouldn't be able to contact INS. I'm saying that once you arrest an individual and you have them in custody, then the law enforcement agency can call in the INS.
Okay.
And the arrest is based on a criminal charge, not on the basis of being an illegal.
Counsel, do you have a sense of
right. What
we're searching for here? And I think the way we can approach this is if we could get, you know, a fourth person here.
We can send it
and
to
if
full committee.
Everybody agrees with the gist of the amendment, then we couldn't do this in full committee. The Democrats are caucusing at 4, so after.
Who's on his way?
What? Who's on his way?
Representative Biden.
Is Nancy sick?
Nancy is in Texas.
In Texas?
Yeah, illness in the family.
Oh.
Well, I don't take a short recess until Representative Bunn, but I'd ask everybody to wait right here at their desk.
I'll be turning this for you.
Our short recess is now over.
You want me to go through them quickly?
Yes.
We're in work session on House Bill 2337, and I am proposing an amendment to House Bill 2337. That would add the word direct in front of the word purpose on line 5. So that would say that no law enforcement agency, so forth and so forth, shall use agency monies, equipment, or personnel for the direct purpose of detecting. And as I explained, I know that's a little bit ambiguous, but it really tells the law enforcement agencies what we're saying. Don't get involved, but it says if by some case you indirectly use something, you're not against the law.
Yes, a question.
He has a second amendment. If you want to explain that.
Yeah. My second amendment, and they're drafting it, and I apologize, would say subsection that nothing in subsection 1 is intended to prevent a law enforcement agency upon the arrest of an individual for a crime other than being illegal. And I think that's the key. Once they've arrested an individual for a crime other than being an illegal alien, nothing at that point would prevent the law enforcement agency from contacting the INS if they had questions about the legal status of the individual.
Representative Biden.
Yes, I have a couple of questions. There isn't anything that would prohibit what you accomplish in Section 2 anyway, is there?
Not in writing. Well,
Stan, I guess there's nothing in the law that prohibits it.
You just want to make it clear that that can be done.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with Section 2. I have a little bit of a problem with your Section 1 change in that it seems to me that those... The courts have already said that local law enforcement is not supposed to be in this business. It appears to me that some local law enforcement has said, tough, we want to be involved. If you use direct in there, those same people who said tough to the courts may say, we weren't directly involved, we were doing other, and it waters down the message we're trying to carry by the bill. And I think that just my reaction would be that presently, if the real intent of law enforcement people has nothing to do with the immigration issues, they can do what they need to do now. They have the legal capability to do that. So I'd favor your Section 2. I have a little trouble with your Section 1.
I'd leave off the Section 1. I might bring it up in full committee for discussion purposes, Stan, but to go to full committee, I have no problem because it's an easy amendment.
Do you really feel that you need your Section 2?
Well, I guess if in the case of we tell very clearly local law enforcement people that we don't want you involved, this is state policy. We're telling local people, stay out. The courts have told them that, but the state of Oregon may have not told them that. In Douglas County, where it is a very wide open county, and they're using the Douglas County radio transmitters to say coordinate, then what we've told Douglas County is really, no, you shouldn't do that either. And I guess that's where I have a little problem, is that if we're telling as a state policy what we don't want to happen, you may be very right.
Well, I don't have strong feelings on the Section 2 thing. I'd go either way.
So why don't we, for the purposes, we'll leave off that and I can propose.
I haven't received
the
motion yet. You want to make a motion on the amending the bill?
I'd move to amend the bill with my proposed subsection 2.
That nothing prevents the...
Right.
Okay.
And just tell you that I may bring up the direct for purposes of discussion in full committee.
Okay, Representative Burton.
Well, I was just going to ask Bill to explain. I haven't been down in Douglas County for a while. What were you referring to there? Is it wide open and they have transmitters?
The Douglas County Sheriff indicated that when they have a raid going on down that area when they're tree planting, is that because of the size of the county, is that many times they'll use their radio transmitters for coordinating their activities.
As well as their personnel.
Yeah, as well as their personnel and as well as their cars. And what we're telling Douglas County is that that's too much. But it doesn't bother me that they call up Douglas County's office and say, can you please call up Portland and tell them to send us a couple extra cars? That doesn't bother me. But maybe Stan's right. If we use any word in there, we're opening up the hole.
No, I have a real concern that we ought not to discourage, I don't know quite how to say this, I think we want, I'll withdraw my
comments. Okay. Is there any objection to the amendment by Representative Bellamy?
I just simply like to say I don't know whether it's, I think I agree with from the bylaw if it's necessary, but you know, if the intent is to send out a signal to local law enforcement jurisdictions comply with federal law, we've said that. You know, notwithstanding their other responsibilities, which are inherent anyway, I don't know whether it's necessary. It doesn't seem like it isn't, but we can discuss it in full committee and object to sending it.
Oh, okay. There's no objection to the amendment.
Pass second.
Okay.
Floor
motion
on
the bill. Representative Bunn moves House Bill 2337 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Kadetsky?
Aye. Passes. We are adjourned.
Will that be on tomorrow?